Welcome to Session 5. Everyone knows that time is money in business, and that's especially true in the sales profession. You simply can't afford to expend time and effort on people who aren't in a position to buy your product or service. In other words, on buyers who aren't qualified. Conversely, once you determine that you're really talking to the person who can write you a check, you can feel fully justified in making the maximum effort to sell that individual. Traditionally, sales managers hugely emphasize the importance of qualifying prospects. Sometimes people who were new to the profession felt stressed out by that emphasis, but after a few months on the job, they would realize that it was well placed. Dealing with unqualified prospects is just a waste of valuable time and energy. In fact, the ability to tell qualified prospects from unqualified ones is a huge differentiator between top sales pros and those with lesser success. Potential buyers are qualified by getting information from them. It's that simple. The primary way to get qualifying information is by asking pertinent questions. Most new salespeople are overly cautious about asking the questions that can efficiently qualify a buyer. This hesitation is usually misplaced. The fact is, the vast majority of buyers understand that you're there to make a sale, and that the meeting isn't just a social call. Often, prospects will actually encourage you to ask qualifying questions as a way of getting down to business. Do you need assurance that you're talking to the true decision maker? A professional way of inquiring about this would be to ask, "Will you be the signatory on the contract?" Are you concerned about potential legal issues? Ask, "What is the legal approval process on contracts at your company?" Naturally, you want to be certain that there's enough money available for the purchase. So you might ask, "What are your current costs for this service and what is your budget?" Is there really a good fit between you and the buyer? Here's the right qualifying question. From what I've described so far, do you feel our service will meet or exceed your requirements? You can also inquire about who is currently providing the service you're selling, and what other vendors are being considered. And of course, the time frame is also important. The question would be, on what date do you want to have a contract signed? Once you've established the level of rapport we discussed in an earlier session, you should freely and frankly ask questions like these. This will focus your prospects on the purpose of your meeting. That way, neither you nor they will invest their time in something with limited potential benefit. It's really a process of both you and the buyer qualifying one another. That's a great way to save time and to make money. A very common mistake among salespeople is to immediately launch into a presentation of the product or service without making the qualifying inquiries we've been discussing. They tell prospective buyers how good, fast, reliable, inexpensive, or easy to use their product is, hoping to convince buyers that the product will meet their needs. The trouble is, the presentation may or may not address the true needs of the buyer. Because the needs have not been determined, there are not yet any clear reasons for them to consider using what you're selling. You need to clarify those reasons. We've seen that questions are the most effective way to do this. So let's elaborate on that a bit. Your real purpose is to make your customers know that you care about them. Even in a business conversation, people long to be heard and understood. You should genuinely want to find out as much as you can about their problems, and especially how they perceive their problems, because solutions to those problems are what you're really selling. Remember that all questions aren't equal. Some are much more effective than others. And what really defines an effective sales question is changing all the time. Customers today are much more aware of questions that seem to be insincere or manipulative. For instance, 20 years ago, literally millions of salespeople were asking questions that began with phrases like these. What would you say if? What would you do if? Would you buy today if? Questions like these are thinly disguised traps for the customer. And today's buyers are not going to fall for that. They're not going to be put in the position of letting you set a time limit or an agenda for their buying decision. It's much more effective to ask genuinely open-ended questions that really show what's on a customer's mind. Above all, you want to get your customer talking. And the more they talk, the better off you are. Some examples of open-ended questions are these. What can you tell me about your organization? How do you see your own role in the company? What do you like about the way things are currently done? Is there anything you don't like about the current situation? How would you like things to be improved? What can you tell me about how you make your decisions? How do you handle budget considerations? Who are the people you work closely with? What can you tell me about them? What are some of the benefits you'd like to see from our working together? What are the obstacles in the way of making that happen? How can we minimize or eliminate those obstacles? How can I help you achieve your goals in this organization? Behind all these questions, there's a single insight about the sales process. Buyers want to know what you can do for them, especially by helping them solve their problems. But before you can do that, you need to know as much as possible about what their problems are. That's why questions are so important. Open-ended questions are those that begin with who, what, where, why, when, or how. This type of question encourages prospects to open up and share information about their needs and wants. But be careful. It's easy to accidentally turn these open questions into closed ones. Don't start by asking, "What are the most important issues for you?" and then undercut it by suggesting answers like promptness of delivery or price. Never assume you know how buyers are going to answer. Ask your question and wait patiently for the response. Even if you have been in sales for years, don't make the mistake of assuming you know what the prospect's needs are. Let them tell you, rather than you telling them. One of the most important facts about selling is that customers will tell you just about anything you want to know, provided you ask in the right way. As Dale Carnegie always taught, people love to talk about themselves. They want to share information about their current situation, their problems, their likes and dislikes. But in most cases, they do need prompting. This prompting is what they can get from you when you ask the right questions in the right way. If you really want to begin differentiating yourself from your competitors, take the time to learn about your prospect's situation. By doing so, you'll begin to give them a reason to do business with you instead of someone else.
This whole piece talks about the importance of asking questions. It's important to understand why we're asking the questions, and it has to do with what's called the buyer's gap. In every selling situation or every buying situation, there is a current reality that the customer or prospect is experiencing now, and then there is expectations of a different reality. The distance between those two is what we call the buyer's gap. The wider the gap, the more the opportunity. The more narrow the gap, perhaps the more challenging the opportunity is. So it's important to ask questions that will help them discover that gap themselves. So you can ask certain current situation or as-is questions first to get them grounded in the here and now, and then move to what we call should-be or future-oriented questions and ask them to talk about what they'd like it to see looking like in the future. When they have those two pictures clear in their mind, they have the gap. Then it's important to ask what is getting in the way, what's stopping them, and then what their motive would be for getting to that should-be. All along the way, it's important to ask what's called implication questions. What's the implication if this does or doesn't happen? And that way, you'll get them emotionally plugged in to their own solution.
I walked into an organization, and I'll tell you, I was a little bit nervous. I was talking to a plant manager. It's a large organization here in Iowa. And again, I was just really excited about what they had been able to do when it came to process improvement and what they've been able to do when it came to the culture. And when I left, I'll never forget, I got one of the best compliments. I'll never, ever forget it. He told me about a book called True North that talks about authentic leadership. And he says, you know, I see that in you. He said, because you asked all the right questions. And that's the quote. He said, you asked all the right questions. And then recently I talked to him again, and he was actually passing me on to who will be my official contact in that organization. And he said, Michelle and I talk every once in a while, and this is what she does. She just asks questions and takes a pulse of our world and what's going on. And he said, I just see there's a really good fit here when we can just get to the right timing for our organization. So I thought it was interesting when he was passing me on to this other contact that would be my contact from here on out. He didn't say all these things about Dale Carnegie training. He said that I call and I ask questions to get a pulse of the organization. And that's what people want to see happen in their world. They want us to know what's going on for them if we're going to help them to improve. And when we're asking these questions, it's important that we're just curious. I had a trainer in the past, Bob Pank, who said our responsibility is to just be very curious and help them understand their situation clearly. So instead of just asking questions that are all over the place, be very specific with our questions. And what happens then is that it'll stop that chatter in our brain and it will allow us just to trust ourselves in these situations.
As we have discussed in Building Rapport, when you engage a prospect during the earliest stages of a sales relationship, be aware of the effect that any qualifying questions will have. And I mean the real effect, not the conventional wisdom described in conventional sales training programs. For example, here's a typical qualifying question. Would you like some information about our company and what we do? Here's another one. If you felt that our program could help your company improve efficiency, reduce overhead, and at the same time improve quality, is this something that you would want to know more about? This tries to be more proactive, but is really just more long-winded. A long-standing sales myth has grown up around these types of questions. The myth is that they enable salespeople to build rapport with the prospects they encounter on the phone or in person. They're also supposed to provide valuable tactical information. But they don't. Questions like those, all of them, turn prospects off and shut down lines of communication. If you doubt this, ask yourself how you would respond to those questions from someone who had just called you on the telephone or had come in to meet you for the first time. Would you open up to that salesperson? Would you say, "Yes, please share whatever information about your company you feel is appropriate for my situation"? Would you say, "You know what? If your program could help my company improve efficiency, reduce overhead, and at the same time improve quality, I really would want to find out more about the program. Not only that, I'd want to learn about the program as soon as possible. Please give me an overview of your company on these 3 points." Would you say, "I'm glad you called. I was hoping a total stranger would get in touch with me this morning to discuss the one aspect of my current arrangement that I would change? It's shipping. We have a real problem with on-time delivery from our current vendor." No, you wouldn't say any of those things. You'd probably say something neutral or vaguely polite. Or if you were having a hard day, you might even end the conversation then and there. But you wouldn't be likely to share all the information about your situation that you knew and that the salesperson doesn't know. That's because these kinds of elaborate qualifying questions are not really based on what the buyer needs. They're based on what salespeople need. We have to share information about our company. We have to convey the benefits of our product or service. We have to set ourselves apart from the competition. But buyers aren't interested in doing any of those things. They're interested in their own situation. As Dale Carnegie teaches, talk in terms of the other person's interests. When we ask briefly and directly about what the other person does, we are much more likely to get some kind of indication of his or her actual situation. We're also more likely to determine whether that person truly has an interest in talking to us about what we do. Here's an example of a simple action-based question, a question that is very likely to give you an immediate and accurate indication of whether or not there's something to talk about with your contact. The question is, "Have you ever worked with a company like ours before?" Another example is, "Who are your current suppliers?" By asking this kind of question, you engage the buyer in the most direct possible way. We also encourage buyers in an unthreatening way to share a relevant, true story from their business experience. That story, if we hear it, will be built around what their business actually does. When we hear that story, we will be in a much better position to gauge the potential customer's true level of interest. When asking questions early in the relationship, focus on simple inquiries that illuminate what the buyer actually does. Use those kinds of questions to get a dialogue started. Skip the questions that every customer immediately sees through. All these questions are manipulative and even aggressive in a more or less subtle way. The flip side of these questions is a fear of being too confrontational or inquisitive on the part of the salesperson. This can cost you as many customers as the overly aggressive style. By understanding your natural fear of qualifying buyers, you can arrive at 7 critical qualifying questions to ask early in the sales cycle. These questions will quickly improve your productivity. You'll get more sales in less time. And we'll get to those 7 important questions in a moment. Now, there are 2 reasons why even veteran sales pros waste time dealing with unqualified accounts. The first is tactical. Salespeople don't want to offend a prospect by asking questions about decision-making, spending authority, and budgets too early in the sales process. They want to make friends first. The second reason is psychological. Salespeople, like everyone else, want to be liked. And most salespeople are very likable. So sometimes it's more comfortable in the short run for the salesperson to build a relationship with the wrong person than to ask questions that may alienate the prospect. The nature of the sales job reinforces this fear of early qualification. Because salespeople face a lot of rejection, they are very open to praise and positive feedback from prospects. And for the buyer, the early phases of a sales encounter can be like having a free consultation about their favorite subject, which is themselves. All this provides frequent strokes for both sides. If this early relationship seems good, it may be natural for salespeople to assume they'll make the sale. Of course, if the prospect is not legitimately qualified, it is only a matter of time before both parties realize that this isn't a fit. But by then, the salesperson has wasted valuable time. So let's look at those 7 questions. Number 1. What needs does the prospect have that can be met by your solution? Can you clearly articulate those needs? What further information do you need before you can speak with full understanding about what will be an optimal result for your customer? Secondly, why should the buyer be willing to spend a certain amount of money for your product or service? How much detail is available about this? Has what you're offering been itemized and budgeted? Third, when does the buyer need to implement your product or service? For most products and services, determining the implementation date is key because this is the fulfillment of the buying decision. Number 4. Who will make the decision to buy the product or service? Fifth, what are the influences, both positive and negative, on the person who will make the final decision? Number 6. Who has the financial authority to implement the decision? It may or may not be the same person who actually makes the decision. It's important to be clear about this. And lastly, have you or your other salespeople called on other decision makers in the same organization? If there are many of them, you should be in touch with all of them. Once you've understood these points and have taken them to heart, you really need only 2 skills to effectively qualify your buyers. The first is confidence. The second is skillful questioning. Before making a call on a prospect, get the answers to as many of the 7 critical questions as you possibly can. Resources for this could be the prospect company website or other salespeople who have contacted them in the past. The amount of information that can be collected in advance will vary for each prospect. But without fail, once you're actually in front of someone in the prospect company, you should ask frank, direct questions such as these. Do you have the authority to implement this decision? Has this item been budgeted? Do you have the funds available? If you are not able to speak directly with the decision maker, you can still create an effective sales call by speaking to someone who is at least in a position of influence. Urge the influencer to speak with the decision maker about your product or service. If this is done tactfully, it will strengthen your relationship with the influencer while also opening connections with the decision makers themselves.
When I ask the questions, I always keep the product in the car, and the person that I want to talk with, I always, always encourage people to start at the top. It can sometimes be scary thinking, okay, we're going to start with the CEO. But we start at the top and we're genuinely interested in them and trust ourselves, it's so much easier to get to that person that is truly the decision maker for us.
It's amazing how many salespeople believe they know what their prospect is thinking without any real attempt at fact-finding through basic questioning. Your basic purpose as a sales pro is always to assist your customers in solving a problem they have. A great deal of research now suggests that customers want to buy products and services, not be sold to. So initially, your prospect will want to know your answers to the following questions. Do you fully understand the problems I have? And do you have a solution to these problems? Those questions are really much the same as the questions you need to ask in qualifying potential buyers. You must determine whether you really do have solutions to the customer's needs. If you don't, you really should not put any more energy into this sales call. It would just be a waste of time for both you and the customer. As soon as you've established what the buyer's problem really is, your next task is linking those issues to the solutions you offer. But again, there may be cases in which you aren't able to do that. You may not have solutions. If that's the case, simply apologize for not being able to help, and perhaps mention alternative sources that might be able to do so. But assuming there is an opportunity to assist, you need to be very thorough with your questioning by asking open questions that elicit open and detailed answers, such as, "Tell me about how we could assist you." "How has this problem affected you?" "What other issues have you experienced?" These questions are so important as they guide you to understand the problems, focus your attention on what to present on, and also entice some emotion from the customer. If you can find that little bit of emotion and really drive home some great questioning, then chances are your customers will appreciate the time you've taken to understand their needs. In other words, they'll be grateful to you for qualifying them so carefully. When you've questioned a buyer to understand the issues and found an opportunity for your company to assist this person, you're ready to begin a conversation about the benefits you offer. Offer the buyer some key benefits that will address their issues and impact them in a positive way. Customers may ask for more information at this point. This is, of course, an extremely positive sign. It shows they're interested in what you've said and shown so far. Buyers will also want to know about you as an individual. They may be interested in the business solutions you've discussed, but they need to know they are dealing with a person and company they can trust. After all, there may be other companies that also offer real benefits. What distinguishes you from them? In addition to your personal qualities, this is an opportunity to reference your other successful client relationships and testimonials that back up what you say. Most buyers don't want to be the first ones on board with a new product or company. If you don't have client case studies or testimonials, then start compiling them today. Make this a priority. It's a key factor in answering that all-important question, "Who says so besides you?" Let's recap some of the important points about qualifying buyers and the questions that go along with that. Always ask open questions to make sure you understand what the buyer is saying or asking. If you believe that you can't provide a solution to their needs, then move on. If they're not qualified buyers, you owe it to both them and yourself not to waste time. This is nothing for anyone to be offended about. It's just a reality of doing business. Show the prospect how you've been able to assist other customers with similar issues. Try to have testimonials that can document this. And if it's become clear that there is not a good fit with this particular buyer, try to provide a referral to another organization that might be able to help. In conclusion, there is still a great deal of misunderstanding about the sales profession. You may encounter this when you tell people what you do for a living. Then, when you tell them that you actually love sales, you get even more disbelieving looks. But in every country in the world and at every moment of the day, sales are happening. It may be in a bazaar in Japan or the boardroom of a Fortune 100 company. So why is there so much confusion about sales? At the end of the day, the entire purpose of a business is to sell something. So in closing, here are some myths about sales that we need to lay to rest. First myth:
You have to be aggressive and arrogant to close a sale. I think this perception may be the number one reason for negative feelings about the sales profession. Somewhere along the line, someone may have been too aggressive with a given individual, and he or she was turned off by that. One bad sales experience can trigger negativity about all salespeople. Without a doubt, being aggressive is one way to close the sale, but it does not build long-term relationships. 21st century selling is about building long-term relationships with the right clients for your product or service. By focusing on this, you will build sustainable revenue streams with loyal customers. Second myth. Sales at the executive level is all about playing golf and socializing with potential customers. Well, sales is not just about playing golf, or tennis either for that matter. Selling requires very sharp interpersonal skills and techniques. It's about building relationships. It's not about entertaining people. It's about communicating value in a powerful way that compels the potential customer to buy. The value needs to be communicated as it applies to customers' needs and problems. Do this right, and you will have a satisfied customer, with or without golf. Third myth. If you try to sell someone something, they may not like you. This is false because selling does not need to be an uncomfortable process in any way. Both seller and buyer can learn to enjoy it. How can someone not like you if you are authentically listening to their needs and problems? How can they think you are being pushy if you are making sure your product or service is the right fit for them? When you shift the paradigm from chasing your potential clients to developing a relationship built on mutual respect, your new clients will love you. Myth number four. If you're well prepared, you will sound too slick. No, because you have to be prepared. You have to know what is unique about your product or service. This begins by understanding your business and your mission and your vision, and by identifying what is unique in all of those areas. Break down your services into bite-sized benefit phrases. Then you can mix and match the phrases that meet the needs of your potential client. And if you have a sales team, you will want your entire team to know these phrases so they can present your solution consistently. Some salespeople like to believe they don't have to use sales tools and techniques because their product will sell itself. If only that were true. Sales is the essence of every business. It's true that the internet has made some transactions much faster, and in some cases, face-to-face interaction with the client is no longer necessary. But that's true in only a limited number of situations, and it's not true for high-priced transactions, and probably never will be. Sales is very critical to every business. Every single thing around you right now is something that was sold to you, and I'm sure you're happy with most of it. Part of being a sales pro involves shifting the perception of the sales profession. That's what you're learning to do here, along with all the other tools and tactics. So please join me as soon as you can for session 6.